I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, and I'd like to welcome a new member to the shop. He's Ken Rudin, political editor for NPR. Welcome, guys. I may jump in once or twice, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, hey, fellas. Welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Hey, hey, how's it going?
I'm excited.
Guys?
I've never been on a show dedicated to the governor of Mississippi.
All right, well.
That's Haley Barber. I'm sorry. I got the wrong barber.
It's cool, bro. You're among friends.
I'm learning.
Yeah, all right. Well, check this out. You know, Barack Obama's keeping it moving in Indiana, recovering from his loss to Hillary Clinton in the Pennsylvania primaries. Ken Dog, your first in. You know, a win is a win, but it wasn't a mandate by any stretch. Now, what's going on? How did this happen?
Well, first of all, from the day one, Hillary Clinton had a double-digit lead in Pennsylvania. A few months ago, with a 20-point lead, it was probably down to 12 points. And then perhaps the more Barack Obama campaigns in the state, the more voters get to see him, he narrows the gap. The question is whether he closes the deal, as we like to say. Pennsylvania was tough from the beginning. It's older than most states. Only Florida and West Virginia are older. Barack Obama does not do well with older voters. It's whiter than most states. It's 82% white. More blue-collar workers. He's not connected with blue-collar workers. I think the terrain was tough for Obama to begin with. Perhaps a more favorable terrain, May 6th in Indiana.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned that. I mentioned how white it was, but he did okay in Iowa, if I remember. Ruben, give us some perspective on this.
Pennsylvania is like nothing we've seen before, and here's why. In every other race coming up to this, you know, sometimes you'd have three or four states on a single day. You'd have 10 states on a single day. Pennsylvania, 6 weeks of campaigning led up to Pennsylvania. And during those 6 weeks, a lot of things happened. The Reverend Wright eruption, the whole Bosnia lie by Hillary Clinton and the sniper fire thing. Even now, most recently, the ad that Hillary Clinton ran where the New York Times accused her of waving the bloody shirt of 9/11 by putting Osama bin Laden out there to scare voters. So there were these ups and downs all along. I think you can spin it either way and say that a double-digit win for Hillary Clinton is significant. You know, 10 points is no small thing. But on the other hand, points well taken that Obama did close that gap a lot. And who knows what it was that helped Hillary clinch this deal. But it's an important win for her.
It was a Philly debate.
It's an important win for her, and it really makes Indiana and North Carolina and the states to come all that more important.
A-Train.
Well, I mean, you know, like Ken said, Hillary started out with a 20-point lead. In many polls, Barack had it close to about 6 points, and I think it was the Philly debate at the National Constitution Center that was the clincher. I think that, again, Hillary was able to triage, and Barack didn't come out with his A-game that night, and it was able to creep into double digits, although Barack supporters would say it was 9.4% victory and not double digits. But, again, that's neither here nor there.
And Arsalan, who would those Barack supporters be?
Well, being a brown civil rights lawyer from Chicago, I would have to say that would be me.
You know, okay, I'm wondering, though, I want to ask you this. Is it that maybe they just felt that she had a more coherent message on the economy? Maybe just thought that what she had to say was more specific? You think that's it? No?
Well, let me go back to the one race thing. It's true that in states where racial disharmony is not an issue, Iowa, Idaho, Wyoming, even lily white states like that, Barack Obama cleaned up. It's, I think, in places where racial animosity has a history of it. There's a history of racial animosity in Pennsylvania. The gun owners, the blue-collar workers, the distrust among races, that's where I think the race issue plays more, and it plays more against an Obama candidacy.
You know what's interesting? Pretty much everyone here knows I was on the ground in Philly covering the debate.
And your movements were well documented. I believe you were on the ground in search of the Obama girl. But that's, you know.
What I observed was a sea of Hillary supporters. And the demographic normally skewed older. And in some cases, I saw a huge Latino contingent out for Hillary. Obama supporters were always uniformly young, female, and selling T-shirts for some strange reason. But the Obama contingent outside of the debate hall.
I think Senator Bob Casey might disagree that who is an Obama supporter. But
I'm just saying what I observed. I'm just wondering going forward. I mean, again, this you know, the 9.4, the 10, whatever. It's not a mandate by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm concerned about how Obama cannot run away from the Reverend Wright controversy and his comments about the blue collar workers being quote unquote bitter.
Well, I think, you know, it's not that Barack can't run away from the Reverend Wright controversy, is that no one will let him run away from it. I mean, again, I want John McCain to be asked at every campaign stop about Reverend John Hagee, about Reverend Rod Parsley, about his quote-unquote spiritual advisors who have said as fiery and as apocalyptic of things as Reverend Wright has. And again, I see a double standard here. You know, we make the African-American, the black candidate, you know, jump through hoops, but we don't place the same level of scrutiny on John McCain or the white candidate.
Let's keep it moving and deal with Republican Senator John McCain. And he's asking North Carolina GOP to not run an ad that features quotes from the controversial Reverend Jeremiah Wright. McCain says there's no place for this kind of campaigning and the American people don't want it. Michelle, if I'm right, we got some tape on this, right?
Well, you know, this is always a dilemma because this ad was supposed to run only in North Carolina. But right. The fact that it's become a news story means it's getting national exposure. So here's the dilemma. So do we play it or do we not play it? I mean, since if you want to talk about it and figure out what it is they're saying, I think we got to play it. But I'm just telling you. That's why we're playing. But here it is. All right, here it is.
For 20 years, Barack Obama sat in his pew listening to his pastor.
And then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America. That's in the...
Now, Beth Perdue and Richard Moore endorse Barack Obama. They should know better. He's just too extreme for North Carolina.
The North Carolina Republican Party sponsored this ad opposing Beth Perdue and Richard Moore for North Carolina governor.
Reuben, was that below the belt?
Now, listen, it's bad news for John McCain and the Republican Party. That's why McCain wants to pull it. There's several reasons why they want to pull it. They don't want to get this thing out there too early, way before November, to the point where if they decide to use something like this in November, it'll be old news. Beyond that, another reason is John McCain has, throughout his career, done a pretty good job of reaching out to people in his Arizona campaigns, African-Americans, Latinos, and others. And I think he is this kind of new, more moderate type of Republican. He doesn't like these kinds of games when they're played. And lastly, get this, young voters hate this stuff. Young voters, the same voters that John McCain says he wants to go after and not necessarily concede to Barack Obama, they hate this stuff. Young people think that this kind of stuff represents the old politics that they want to move away from. So those are three good reasons right there why this is bad news for John McCain and the Republicans, and probably not so bad for the Democrats.
Let me give you a fourth reason right now. Where is John McCain right now? This week he's been in the Ninth Ward in New Orleans.
He's on a tour.
He was in Selma, Alabama. Obviously, you don't want to have a message of racial intolerance when you're trying to woo over African-American voters and, you know, other voters left behind in states in places like Selma and New Orleans.
A-Train.
Well, you know, I agree with both Ken and Ruben. I think that, you know, John McCain is above the fray in terms of this sort of gutter politics. Unfortunately, I don't think that the Republican Party as a national entity is above the fray in terms of that gutter politics. I think that we're going to see more of these things throughout different states. This is the lowest common denominator of American politics that we can get into. And unfortunately, it seems like we're in the seventh rung of Dante's political inferno.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and we're having our weekly visit to the barbershop with Ken Rudin, Jimmy Israel, Ruben Navarrete, and Arsalan Iftikhar. I just wondered if anybody wants to talk more about the John McCain tour. He's calling it his time for action tour. He's making stops in Selma, Alabama, New Orleans, and Youngstown, Ohio. Can I just play a short clip if he's going to tell us why he's doing it?
Sure.
You want to hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it is.
In America, we have always believed that if the day was a disappointment, we would win tomorrow. That's what John Lewis believed when he marched across this bridge. That's what he still believes, what he still fights to achieve, a better country than the one he inherited. Hope in America is not based in delusion, but in the faith that everything is possible in America. The time for pandering and false promises is over. It's time for action. It's time for change.
Arsalan, he doesn't seem to be getting that much attention for this.
You know, with the whole Barack and Hillary thing going on, I like to say that John McCain is on his I Am Chilling presidential tour, where essentially he can do whatever he wants because he's just chilling right now. And so, you know, he needs to reach out to voters. He needs to reach out to demographics that, you know, have felt alienated by the Republican Party. And, you know, there's no better time than, you know, during the 15-round bout that the Democrats are going through to get these voters, because I think once the Democrats get a nominee, then going to these primarily Democratic areas won't reap the benefits for him politically.
But Ken, what do you think, though? I mean, I wonder, you think, is this a wasted effort? Because I'm just surprised that he's not getting the kind of bounce for this. I mean, obviously, there's so much going on in the Democratic side. And I wonder if it's intentional. Does he really expect to, or is this a wasted opportunity?
I don't even know if it's much of an opportunity because nobody's paying attention. I suspect that by doing nothing on April 22nd, John McCain may have been the big winner in Pennsylvania. Because Hillary and Obama are still being, you know, they're knocking each other's heads off. But ultimately, he's not going to get the votes of Selma and the Ninth Ward and things like that. But I think he makes the case like George W. Bush tried to do when he first ran in 2000, not, you know, so much the compassionate conservative, but he had a record, George Bush did, of working with Latinos in Texas and reaching across. He wasn't the right-wing conservative a lot of people portrayed him as in the last 8 years.
For my two cents, I'm not convinced that this kind of thing isn't just a cheap photo op. I mean, you know, you tour in the ghetto to take the pulse of America. Suddenly you're interested in how the other half lives. Sorry, bro. You need more people. Let's move on and talk about something really important. Benny the Bull.
Yeah, Chicago.
The mascot for Chicago's NBA team is being sued, oy vey, by a fan after being injured by the lovable Beefer. Now, wait a second. Arsalan, now, help me out here, because I'm familiar with a few laws, and I think if you get hit by a ball or a golf stick or anything like that when you attend a game, it's basically you're attending the game at your own risk.
Can I just hit a golf stick? Jimmy, what's up with that? Do I need to revoke your guy card? I mean,
he made the golf bat.
Right, the golf bat.
Excuse me.
You don't want to come off elitist.
I just feel it's my right, job
exactly,
to point
exactly.
out any
exactly.
error.
Exactly.
He is elitist.
Well, yeah, close to the folks.
Okay. I'm trying to keep it real.
He's bitter and he's clinging to his golf bat.
If you hit somebody with something used in the game, basically your ticket buys you an audience to the spectacle and mm-hmm. you take your own risk by doing so. Is that right?
Well, I mean, okay, for example, being someone from Chicago and who's met Benny the Bull can get a little rambunctious. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, he will get right up there. He'll jump on your head. He'll do all sorts of stuff. Now, the person in question, Dr. Don Kalant from Naperville, Illinois, is actually a well-known oral surgeon. He's a dentist. He's very well of it.
Can you say oral surgeon on the air?
I believe so.
Okay, sorry.
Anyway, so apparently the story is as the doc was reaching out to give Benny the Bull a high five, his arm was hyperextended, and therefore, you know, the crowns of his profession were not in full gear, and so he's suing for back wages of nearly $80,000 in the time between the actual Benny the Bull infant. Yeah, it's one of those redunculous lawsuits that you hear. You know, the guy who sued for $2 million at the dry cleaners for his pants. You know, here right. in D.C., it's kind of I as a lawyer would sort of put it in that realm.
Interesting. You know, I mean, because
the bull is
I
dangerous. I've heard red meat can kill you, but I've never heard this variation before.
I don't know. Part of me buys it. I mean, because, you know, when you go to the game, you put your a high five is a high five. And you don't expect to be incapacitated giving somebody some props, you know. And
right.
and I think if you're employed. No, I think if you're employed by a company and, you know, you're performing a service, I think you have an obligation to know how to perform that service safely. And without injuring people.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Off. Free Benny.
Ruben, I take it you're skeptical.
Yeah,
of this.
I'm skeptical. Leave Benny alone. Let's just, you know, this is a frivolous lawsuit for sure, but, you know, I don't buy this whole notion that somehow it's in Benny's job description not to, you know, to be careful how he gives the high fives because he might hurt somebody.
Now watch the San Diego Chicken. San Diego Chicken's going to go mug somebody tomorrow.
I think the right lawyer is going to make hamburger out of Benny. Ken Dog, wrap this up, please.
I think that this seriously affects Ralph Nader's chances of being elected president.
Very astute observation. That was brilliant.
And with that, I think it's going to be a wrap. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for another great edition of The Shop. I have to kick it back over to the lady of the house, Michelle Martin.
I know what I'm getting you for your birthday.
What's that?
A golf stick. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist who writes for TheRoot.com. He joined us from WFSU in Tallahassee, Florida. Ruben Navarrete writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune and CNN.com. He joined us from KOGO in San Diego. Arsalan Iftikhar is a civil rights attorney and contributing editor for Islamica magazine, and NPR's own political junkie Ken Rudin. They both joined us here in our studios in Washington. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Peace.
Thank you.
This was the second best day of my life.
Yep, yep.